Ephesians chapter 5 for the reading of God's word, preaching and teaching of God's word. And we will let you get out early tonight. You don't believe me? Thank you, Ron. One believer in the house. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Let the church say amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your Spirit. Help me to be a blessing, and help your word to move us to action. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Walking worthy is our admonition here in Ephesians chapter 5. We're listening to the word of God as it pertains to the Christian life, understanding that the Christian life is not only based on our beliefs and blessings, but the Christian life should produce proper behavior. How many of you are convinced that it is more important to walk right than it is to talk right? Amen. And a lot of people have talk and no walk. May God give us Christian people who are known by their walk. And Paul is challenging them in Ephesians chapter 5, writing from a prison cell. And by the way, he understood that although his circumstances were not favorable and things were not exactly how he liked them to be, he was still a Christian. And wherever you are tonight, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, no matter what your circumstances have served you, can I remind you, if you are saved, you are still a Christian. Somebody say amen. And God expects you to behave right, not based on your circumstances, but based on what you believe. Things change, but the Bible remains the same. So in Ephesians chapter 5, he's dealing with this walking worthy. Our member relationships, early he spoke about chapter 4, and then our moral relationships here in chapter number 5. Last week we looked at the essence of being a conscious learner. And that conscious learner shows us a timely walk. We're to walk with a cautious tread. Walk circumspectly. How many between last Sunday and this Sunday had to go around some danger this week? Spiritually. Sad to say, some probably didn't go around. None of us went around all of it. All of us found ourselves stepping in something. You ever been outside and stepped in something? You ever got in the car and realized you had gum on the bottom of your shoes? And not only do you not like it on the bottom of your shoes, but you don't want to touch it to get it off, huh? And sometimes it's because you weren't looking while you were walking. Listen, the Christian life, everybody's walking, but walk circumspectly. That cautious tread, amen, that compensated time, redeeming the time. Our time needs to be bought back for the glory of God. The corrupt temptations, the days are evil. That timely walk must also be accompanied by truthful wisdom. Be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. That is a plain command. God expects us to be wise. There is no excuse for an unwise Christian when you have access to a wise Bible. Let me say that again. There are a lot of things genetically you may not have gotten. There are a lot of skills and talents and even some diseases that you got by way of genetics that you wouldn't have chosen if you could have. There are some things physiologically, biologically that you have that you could not stop from having. But I will tell you, regardless of your character traits, your attributes, your biological makeup, if you're saved tonight, you do not have to be unwise. You do not have to be ignorant. You do not have to walk in the darkness. We have a Bible. It says that plain command is don't be unwise. Know the book. And then he said that pertinent, if you would, comprehension is understand it. Don't just read it, understand it. Amen. By the way, if you need more biblical helps for you to understand the Bible, then get what you need. Get a concordance. Amen. Get a commentary. Ask questions. Read cross references. Read these verses. You see your Bible, these verses that come down the middle margin of your Bible. These are other verses that connect with the verses that you're reading. And every once in a while, you ought to understand the Bible. By the way, sometimes a preacher, your pastor, gets to preaching and preaches fast and gives a lot of points and gets to the sermon. And you say, I didn't understand everything. You ought to go back home, pull your notes out, reread it and reread it and reread it and reread it. You don't just get credit for sitting in the church service if you don't know what happened. Understanding what the will of the Lord is, and the primary place to find the will of God is from the Word of God. Listen to me, what you do with the Bible will determine what God does with you. If you find yourself as a clueless Christian, it's because you've not given yourself to diligent, studious commitment to the Word of God. Here in foreign countries, we go in foreign countries and people just starving for the Bible. And most of us have copies of the Bible and the Bible on our phone and the Bible on the internet and the Bible that we can listen to. And yet we don't read it. We don't memorize it. We don't meditate on it. We don't study it. Shame, 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 shame. You can't walk avoiding danger if you don't know what danger is. And you can't know what danger is if you don't know what the Bible says. And you can't know what the Bible says if you don't read it. I just wonder how much of a better church Crossroads Baptist Church would be if everybody in this building tonight read your Bible every day. I'm not talking about if anybody tithed more, if anybody witnessed more, if anybody, you say, Pastor, you're not concerned about those things. Listen to me. You would tithe more and you would witness more if you read your Bible every day. I'm not worried about that. You can't get that book all up in you and be the same. Amen. But you can't expect to be different if you don't get that book all up in you. Amen. Did I say you'll get out early? All right, let me hurry. Truthful wisdom. It's a timely walk. That's where a conscious learner. We also need to have capable leadership. How many of you are thankful for the Holy Spirit of God? No. Say it like you mean it. How many of you are thankful for the Holy Spirit of God? Can you imagine trying to live the Christian life in a wicked world without the Spirit of God? It's hard enough with him. Can you imagine trying to navigate this terrain called the Christian life without the Holy Ghost of God? Aren't you glad that we're living in an age and the dispensation where the Holy Spirit doesn't come and go, but the ministry of the Holy Spirit in this age is to indwell us, to live inside of us? And aren't you glad that God didn't have a quota and go, all right, the line has run out. I've given the Spirit to the last person, and the next person to get saved is going to go to heaven, but you're going to go to heaven, and on the way, you're going to have to go without the Holy Spirit of God. Aren't you glad that for every born-again believer, living inside of you is the Holy Spirit of God, who is no less God than God the Father or God the Son? The third person of the Trinity, the Holy Ghost of God, co-eternally existent, immutable, unchangeable, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, everywhere at the same time, holy, just, pure, righteous, gracious, merciful. If God is God, if Jesus is God, the Holy Ghost is God, and inside of us, he lives. Let the church say amen. Now he's leading. The question is, are we following? Follow the leader. The kids used to play Simon Says. Christians, we need to play Spirit Says. You know what got you out in Simon Says? When you did something that somebody else said besides Simon. Amen. Say, Simon said, put your hand up. Simon said, put your hand down. Simon said, put your hand up. Simon said, put your hand down. Put your hand up. No, Simon didn't say it. And watch it now. There are a lot of voices out there in the world, and the devil has been around God long enough that he even knows how to make his tone, his content, and some of his terminology sound like God. But the best way to try the Spirit of God is with the Word of God. And when the two don't jive, somebody's lying to you. So don't come telling the preacher God told you to do something the Bible told you not to do. You're lying, or at very best, confused. Don't quote God against his word. Capable leadership. If you're taking notes, you should have written down the Spirit's filling. Be not drunk with wine. There's a comparative parallel. Here he says, the way that wine controls the drunkard, the Spirit should control. In other words, if you are influenced by alcohol in a negative way, you should be influenced by the Spirit in a positive way. Say amen. So the comparative parallel, the cooperative person is, I got to let him work. The controlling power is, he knows what he's doing. And the continual process is, I got to keep on learning, keep on learning, keep on learning. You never plateau in the Christian life. You never reach a level of graduation. You're never done growing. You are ever a work in progress until Jesus comes and makes us just like him. But the good news about the continual process is, even when we fall off, and by the way, just a moment ago, we heard a young man say, I fell off for 6 months. I fell off. Thank God when he got back on, he didn't have to go get saved again or even start all the way at the beginning. He could pick up the loose pages, plug them into the book, and get back started where he fell off. Keep growing. The first sign of backsliding is to take your foot off the pedal. And there are Christian people who think that because they've been driving a long time, they can drive on cruise control. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't care how much you paid for gas. Eventually, you got to refill. Amen. You can mash the pedal all you want to, but ain't no good to mash the pedal if you don't have no gas in the tank. And let me tell you something. This is where you fill up the tank. Amen. We need Holy Spirit's filling. We need the Spirit's filling. Tonight, I want to continue beyond the Spirit's filling to what I call the saints' thrilling. The Spirit filling should produce the saints' thrilling. Look here just a moment, and don't miss this. It is impossible to be a Spirit-filled depressed Christian. Let me say it again. It is impossible to be a Spirit-filled, depressed Christian. Watch this now. I'm simply saying that hand in hand, step by step, the Spirit's filling is accompanied by saints' thrilling. So when a saint is not thrilled to serve God, he's telling me he's not filled while he serves God. Help us, Paul. What's the saints' thrilling look like? Number one, a triumphant song. Now listen. I'm not talking about your ability to sing. Okay? Let's be honest. Some people don't really have the ability to sing well. Okay? But here's what I'm telling you. Being Spirit-filled doesn't mean you have the ability to sing well. But you know what it does do? It does mean, it means you don't have the ability not to sing at all. Now I'm going to tell you how I can tell when a lot of Christians have lost their spirit filling. They lose their song. I heard people say, well, bless God, I come to church. I'm concerned about the preaching, and at least I got there by the preaching. Wait a minute. The service doesn't start when the preaching starts. The service starts at the beginning when the song starts. You say, well, I come for the word. But let me tell you something. The more of the word you get in, the more of a song you have in your heart. Some of you need to get back to the Holy Ghost of God filling and controlling your life so that once again, you got a song in your heart. Yeah, we need preaching. Somebody say amen. We need preaching. Well, there's a lot to tell about a church that's not Spirit-filled. By the songs. By the music. There ought to be a triumphant song. What do you mean triumphant song? I'm simply saying, when the Spirit is filling you, you know what that means? You're not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Did you miss that? When the Spirit is filling you, and the Bible tells us that over in Galatians, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill. He didn't say you shall not feel. you shall not fulfill. It doesn't mean you won't be tempted, but when the Spirit fills you, you won't give in to the temptation, because there is a greater power that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, wait a minute. Now, I want you to get this tonight. When you have spent a week being tempted by the devil and deceived by the flesh and attacked by the world, but through the Spirit of God, whipped all of them, you'll come into church with a song. By the way, that's why talented singers who are not Spirit-filled fail to produce spiritual songs and continue to produce sensual songs. And that's why you go in a lot of churches and it looks like two people are singing love songs to each other instead of people singing a song to a holy God. By the way, there's a contemporary movement that is full of singers that all sound like they're in a nightclub with dimmed lights trying to tempt each other to fall in love with each other, when instead they should have the Spirit filling inside of them that produces a song that pleases God, that is different than the world, that runs the devil off. Listen to me. You want to get the devil up out of here, you start singing a song that comes from a Spirit-filled heart. That's why no choir member should expect to sing in the choir with zero requirements. Because we're talking about Spirit-filled. This is not American Idol, The Voice. We're talking about Spirit-filled. We want the touch of God on our songs. Amen. The very least you ought to be faithful to church. The very least you ought to dress in a way that's modest and becoming of a Christian. At the very least, you ought to participate in outreach. At the very least, you ought to be a good giver. Hey, that's just the ABCs of the Christian life. How in the world can you have a soul that pleases God when you have a life that's not Spirit-filled? Somebody say amen. Well, there's too many roots. Listen to me. We're talking about the Spirit filling that produces a saint's thrilling, triumphant song. Let me give you these very quickly. What are triumphant songs? These verses that are here in the Bible, these words, psalms. What are psalms? Scriptural songs. Amen. There's 150 of them. Psalms. Listen to me. Every once in a while, y'all turn the radio off and open the Bible and sing songs that God wrote. Do you realize that the Psalms are songs? They're songs that come right out of Scripture. And listen to me, I'm not against songs that are not verbatim from Scripture, but I am telling you, there is a dynamic of spiritual fortitude that erupts from songs that are full of biblical content and biblical words. By the way, one of my favorite songs to hear the choir sing is, "Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head." Why? It comes right out of the Psalms. It's just what God said. Amen. Somebody comes to me battling depression. One of the first things by way of counsel I give them is to spend time in the Psalms. Get your song back. Get your song back. Wake up every day and sing. By the way, the Psalms are really full of content centered around the character of God. It's hard to be depressed when you spend your time bragging to yourself about your God. Depression and discouragement, despondency, destitution, and despair come when we find ourselves focusing, magnifying, and dominating our mind on our circumstances. All of those seem to dissipate when we take the same mind, focus, and dominating on the God we serve. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Isaiah 26. Scriptural songs. Hymns. Sacred songs. These are serious songs. Did you hear me? This is the byproduct of Spirit filling. Okay, so here's what he's saying. Our goal really isn't to try to get good singers to be Spirit-filled. Our goal is to try to get Christians to be spirit-filled so they can become good singers. You say, I'm not a singer in the church. Everybody's a singer in the church. You may not sing in the choir, but if you got the spirit filling in you, you got a song to sing. Amen. I heard somebody say, we'll be singing with the angels in heaven. Bible never says anything about angels singing. There's a lot of angels say, but there's never a time in the Bible where angels sing, because it's hard to sing when you haven't been redeemed, but it's impossible not to sing when you've been redeemed. No wonder there's a song of the redeemed that we're going to sing in heaven. And no wonder he said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Scriptural songs, sacred songs, spiritual songs. Listen, there's a lot of jingles and commercials and fun songs and exercise songs and happy songs and oldie but goodie songs and catchy songs. And the songs that come on a show, songs. But when the Spirit fills you, he has you singing spiritual songs. Here's what I found out. One of the very first things that falls off of a life of a new Christian or a surrendered saint is bad music. Without even telling them. That Holy Ghost gets inside of them. And they turn that same station on. And the Holy Spirit goes, uh-uh. No. That didn't come from me. And it doesn't go well with me. Isn't it amazing? Watch this now. When you're happiest in the Lord, you're singing. Do you hear me? You don't like to sing when you're depressed. And by the way, you don't want nobody singing around you. Hush, turn that on. Hush. I don't want to hear that right now. When the Spirit fills you, psalms, scriptural songs, hymns, sacred songs, spiritual songs. So everybody, I hope you put that down tonight. Scriptural songs, sacred songs, spiritual songs. And then I wrote this down. Sustained songs. In other words, the song shouldn't end when the choir walks down. Now, if you say, I got to get to church because I just need to hear that song. What you're telling us is that your song is at 5811 Hoffman's Lane. You're not going to be able to whip the devil if you got to come up in here to get your song all the time. See, when the Spirit fills you, you don't get your song at 5811 Hoffman's Lane. You get your song in your heart. And good thing you have it in your heart, because where you go, your heart goes with you. Singing and making melody in your heart. Sustained songs. They have an internal origin. Now, I want you to get this and then I'm done. Singing and making melody where? In your heart. I'm afraid that we spend a lot of time trying to technically teach people to sing from their heart. It's not a technique. It is a spiritual work of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, we can teach you to look like you're singing from your heart. But the problem is, if you're not spiritual, you won't remember to do it all the time. And you'll catch yourself. No, you won't catch yourself. We'll catch you doing something you didn't catch yourself doing because you forgot to tell yourself to keep doing it. So you'd be singing, I'm saved, 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 with a frown on your face. And you go, I wish somebody had told me what I looked like. If it was in your heart would have told you. Listen, choir members. Before you ever get taught the song by Pastor Mike, you should have a song that originates in your heart. Listen to me. The best songs are the songs that are in our heart, because that means nobody outside of us can steal it from us. Singing and making melody in your heart. The songwriter said, I have a song that Jesus gave me. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. He's saying, in my heart. You know what the heart is? Your mind, your emotions, and your will. You know what the heart is? It's the innermost being. You know what the heart is? It's where God worked. When God saved you, he saved you in your heart. When the Holy Ghost came to live inside of you, he came to live in your heart. When you sing and make melody, you make melody in your heart. And you can't do that without the Spirit filling. Get your drums, get your new songs, get your voice lessons, get your radio listening to, get your iTunes account. But there's something beyond human manufacturing and technology that the Holy Ghost produces that no man can take from you. There's an internal origin. And because of that, there's an intense overflow. Singing and making melody and your heart to the Lord. Here's what sustained songs are. They're songs that start down here. And by the way, when we talk about the heart, we're not talking about the location of it in your anatomy. Your heart, deep down where God works. There's something that erupts. The Holy Spirit, remember, he's controlling you, right? He produces, saints thrilling is excitement. And I got a song in my heart. And when I got a song in my heart, it's got such an internal origin that it produces an intense overflow. Listen to me. The filling of the Spirit should produce such a thrilling of the Spirit that is so internal and so intense, it cannot be hidden. That means if you're the only person that knows you're happy in Jesus, you're fooling yourself. Because internal origins always produce intense overflows. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. We can beat around the bush and dance around. We can come up with programs and little pet peeves and incentives to get people to do right. But I'm just telling you, you can go down the road and find you another church and get you a better teacher and read you more books and get you around more godly people and find someplace with better programs. Bless your heart, but at the end of the day, if you want to produce a light that pleases God, it's going to require the Spirit filling. You cannot bypass the leadership of the Holy Ghost and expect to produce a life that pleases God. And I promise you, where there's Spirit filling, there's saints thrilling. Phooey. With these Christian people. I'm serving God, but I tell you, anybody wearing me out, you know, praise God, I'm here just with, oh Lord. I understand we go through trials and tribulation, but if you actually want to convince God that you made a huge sacrifice to serve him, and when he finally brings you to heaven, he better have something good to reward you because of all you gave up to join this little hardcore serving God, wear you out Christian life. You got it twisted. It's a wonderful privilege to serve God. And anytime the Christian life is anything short of thrilling, it's an indictment on you that you're living a life short of filling. Our Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you will encourage us. God, we want to get back to having some thrilling in our lives. But there is no thrilling where there is no filling. And we've got to do better. By your grace, I trust we will. We love you. Thank you for being a good God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.